I want to remind you one more time. You.
This is the Quality News Network. At the White House this evening, President Bush will hold a dinner with Afghan President Hamid Karzai and Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf. For the past few months, the leaders of the two neighboring countries have criticized each other's efforts in fighting terrorism along their shared border. At the White House today, spokesman Tony Snow said the full national intelligence estimate from April will not be released. He characterized the document, which is compiled by 16 U.S. intelligence agencies, as a, quote, snapshot, not a conclusion. The portion of the NIE that was made public stated the war in Iraq is increasing the number and geographic reach of jihadists. On Capitol Hill today, the Senate is expected to vote on an additional $70 billion to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan as part of the $448 billion Pentagon budget. The war in Iraq is costing the U.S. $8 billion a month. Also on Capitol Hill, Republicans in the House and Senate have cleared the way for legislation on terrorism detainees. It gives President Bush the authority to detain, interrogate, and try them before military commissions. Also in Washington, a bill aimed at helping end the bloodshed in Darfur is headed to President Bush's desk. British troops in Basra, Iraq, are conducting a campaign to remove Shiite militias from the ranks of the Iraqi police. A survey of Iraqis by the University of Maryland finds that 71% would like to see the U.S.-led forces withdraw from their country in a year. The poll results also show most Iraqis believe the U.S. military presence is creating more conflict than it is preventing. In Baghdad, a U.S. military commander says that insurgent attacks have increased in the past 2 weeks. Today in northern Baghdad, outside of a Sunni mosque, a shootout killed at least 10 people and wounded 11. Saudi Arabia plans to build a 560-mile fence along its border with Iraq. It is part of a $12 billion security package to protect the oil-rich country from external threats. In Berlin, Iran's top nuclear negotiator met with the foreign policy chief of the European Union for talks. Meanwhile, in Tehran today, Iran's president vowed that his country would never give up its right to nuclear technology. The day fire burning since Labor Day in Southern California is now 45% contained. It is one of the largest fires in California history. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The American Academy of Family Physicians is predicting a shortage of family physicians in some states by the year 2020. In Ohio, a family of five has sued Natural Selection Foods, saying they were sickened after eating the company's fresh spinach. Five additional witnesses have been subpoenaed to appear at a congressional hearing on the Hewlett-Packard media spying case tomorrow. Intel is unveiling the Core 2 Extreme chip, which will have four computing engines in November, to win back market share from rival AMD. The popular online site MySpace.com will begin a voter registration drive aimed at signing up younger voters. Univision shareholders have approved the proposed sale of the company to an investment group. A regulatory approval is still needed for the $12.3 billion deal. The head of Nissan Renault met with the chief executive of GM for talks in Paris today. The companies began negotiations on a possible three-way alliance. 7-Eleven announced it is dropping Citgo, the Venezuelan-backed gasoline supplier, partly because of anti-Bush comments the Venezuelan president made at the UN last week. The convenience store operator is launching its own brand of fuel to sell at 2,100 of its 5,300 U.S. stores. Light sweet crude settled at $62.94 a barrel today. And taking a look at Wall Street, the Dow is up 21 points, the Nasdaq is up 2 points, the S&P 500 is flat. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, me pride.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' gains, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Good afternoon. And welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's 6 minutes past the hour here and there and wherever you are around the world. If you're listening on Radio Power, on the Head On Radio Network stream, on the archive, it may be any time. But at least live, it is 6 minutes past the hour. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Glad to be back with you again this afternoon. I've got a number of different things to talk about today, not the least of which is the fact that the opposition party has become somewhat oppositional today. We're going to look into some of that stuff. And also, I've got a couple of other things that I wanted to talk about this afternoon. But before we get into the meat of the program, we do have a caller already on the line. David from Maine, how are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, good afternoon, Bruce. How are you doing?
Top of the day to you.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about George Allen. I don't know if you heard the third, not just the deer head in the mailbox, but the third thing that I didn't know about, but I heard on another radio program that he actually said that only black people eat turtles.
Only black people eat turtles. That's what he said. Huh?
I wanted to get your opinion on this. Do you think that this? Do you think when people bring out comments like that and they put them in print, do you think that that's the correct thing to do as a journalist without having any, you know, it's a he said she said type of a situation. Some people are calling it the swift voting of George Allen. I just wanted your opinion on that.
I think there's some substance.
There's some substance to it.
I think there's some substance to the racial allegations. And
but do you get suspicious when people put things in articles where they say, well, yeah, I knew George Allen, and this is what he said, and I mean, and there's nothing else you can do except just judge by what this person says. Is that, in your opinion, what would you call that? If that was done to a fellow Democrat, would we be calling that a swift vote? I just wanted to.
Absolutely.
That. Okay, so.
And I also, but I will say this. I mean, you know, one of the things that I've looked at, and you know, in the short time that I've been around and been involved in political stuff, you know, one of the things that I've contemplated is running for office myself. Now, of course, I'm not contemplating it now. I like to do the radio show.
Right.
But. You know, one of the things that I looked at, actually running for a local commissioner post here in Guilford County. And, you know, what I realized was, well, if I do that now, what I'm basically doing is I'm opening up the front door and inviting the world into my living room to see how I live, to see how I act, to see what kind of person I am. That's part of running for office
now. And your grand dragon history.
You know, I mean, that's part of running for office now. And so if someone chooses to run, especially at that level, at the senatorial level, you know, they kind of have to expect that that if they have any skeletons in the closet, that they're going to come out at some point. You know?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, perfectly.
I think maybe 30, 40 years ago, there was more decorum with regard to what the press would print.
Right.
But it's become such. I mean, you know, with the news attention span being about 30 minutes long. You know, you can go through a whole realm of story lives in one day, and I mean, it's become very salacious. I mean, you know, it's who's got the dirt and how can we get it out there? And you know, I don't know that I agree with that, but that's kind of like that's what the reality is at this point.
Do you believe in the deer head in the mailbox story? Because that to me is, I don't think anyone could dream that one up. I mean, putting a deer head in a mailbox. The big thing is why a deer? Because they couldn't find any horses or anything.
In Virginia,
yeah,
deer are very, very populous. You can't go. You couldn't. There's no way you can go from one end of Virginia to the other without seeing a deer. Maybe several.
More deer in Virginia than in Maine.
I don't know. I don't know what the population.
Actually,
is
more
in
moose
Maine,
in Maine than Virginia.
I'm sorry.
Probably. I said probably more moose than deer in Maine. I would say.
Perhaps I, you know, again, I'm not sure, but yeah. There are a lot of deer. That's, you know, anyway.
I would call this whole thing not swift boating George Allen. I would call it karma. If that's really how he was, I would call this big time karma. This
well,
God's
I mean,
thing.
You know, here's a guy that had a noose on the wall of his office for a long time.
Oh God!
I mean, seriously,
how many strikes can this guy have? I don't understand.
There is enough. Solid evidence about his racist past, you know, that the other stories that are coming out really only all they do is sort of corroborate what most folks already pretty much figured to begin with.
The worst defense I heard was that he made up the word macaca. I was like, I can't believe you said that.
I just made it up.
I just made it up. You know, kudos to Al Franken for covering this. He took on Tony Blankley on Hardball. I don't know if you saw that clip, but
yeah, I did, and Al laid waste to him. So.
He's showing his stripes of a senator, and hopefully he'll continue to be on the offensive rather than the defensive, and hopefully he'll continue to be a commentator for Democratic causes versus a Democratic schmoozer, if you get what I'm saying.
Right, right, right.
Because I mean that's a problem we do have in the DNC. I will say this: the celebrity factor, the sensationalist aspect of it, of the whole, just basically, I'll say it, gatekeeping of it, and just letting. Well, you're not a celebrity, so you can't speak on that. And I know better than you, so ha ha ha. That kind of
yeah. That's we really here at the Head On Radio Network. We really abhor that kind of approach to this. So.
And that's what I think is one of the biggest flaws in Franken's character is that he'll talk about himself and then he'll associate himself with any known star. Like he'll just if you hear him on the radio, if you ever hear a sampling of him, he'll just go into stories and they'll be of celebrities you know, and it's like okay. Enough is enough. After a while, you're like, I get the picture.
Well, you know, the other day I was hanging out with Susan Sarandon, and
right, he likes telling this story. He tells the story over and over again. I don't know if you heard about this Sly Stallone in the elevator. And
no, I haven't heard it.
He was with Sly Stallone in the elevator, and he goes, you're going to Iraq, right? And he goes, yeah. In fact, I've been there a few times. And Sly goes, I wouldn't go over there. And then Al Franken turns to him and goes, but you're Rambo. And he goes, they got terrorists over there, don't they? I was like, I couldn't
believe it. Rambo doesn't go.
Yeah, if Rambo doesn't go, that says a lot. I guess it's all in the role you play in these days. For a lot of these tough people, these high energy testosterone type individuals, I think. They need, you know what this campaign should be about? The Democratic should lead on a platform of tell the truth, even so much, even if it hurts, tell the truth, even if it hurts. That's what I think the best platform should be for the Democrats.
Well, huh, okay.
Well, you're stumped on that one.
I think that there has been a, you know, I think that there's been a distinct lack of articulated positioning. I was listening actually to a caller or to a show today on NPR, and Frank Luntz was on there, and you know, he's the guy who is the right wing framer. You know, he tells them how to frame all of their words and their arguments. And whenever you hear a new term getting trotted out, it's because Frank Luntz said, "Hey, here's the one you got to use now." And it was really interesting because he was actually coming from the standpoint that he believes that there needs to be more positive framing and more positive articulated positions that as opposed to negative. Instead of saying, you know, how screwed up your opponent is, you talk about what you stand for. And I thought, you know, coming from Frank Luntz, that's kind of interesting because he's sort of the king of smear, you know, memes. And
you know, a problem
but I do think, absolutely, I think that a positive campaign, although you do have to answer to charges. I think that was one of the things that threw John Kerry off track big time, was that he didn't answer to the Swift voting quick enough. Or actually, did he ever answer? I think he did finally about a couple months ago.
I think he just talked to consultants in a darkened room.
But you have to answer to some of those serious charges. But on the same token, you have to be able to easily and in the English language articulate what you stand for and the position that your party is taking. And we're not getting enough of that. What we're getting is Washington bureaucratical speak. And you know, and it's confusing to the people who flip from American Idol to Runway to, you know, I'm saying, to Comedy Central or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It, well, not that any one of those shows are bad, but just that's the entertainment industry has a capitalization on the mind of the American public.
Well, you know, on the subject of Frank Luntz, one of the problems and one of the biggest problems that a lot of Republicans, and they treat America as an extension of themselves, if you get what I'm saying. They're such isolationists. I saw a PBS show documentary on Frank Luntz being one of the persuaders in America of media and general pop culture and perception. And they went into his house, and it was just all everything American. And I just thought to myself right now that it's such an isolationist attitude. If you really do think that all of you just is summed up in America, we have more problems, psychiatric problems, than you can even begin to imagine.
I think there's a reason for that, David. I think when people are avoiding reality, that
I agree with you.
That reality expresses itself in the way that it chooses to express itself, rather than, you know. And I think that's what's happening, is people are working at jobs they hate. I mean,
right.
they're living with politicians they can't stand, and they feel helpless and powerless. And when they get into that place and they're not proactive, you know, all kinds of things can happen.
Well, I happen to agree with you on those points, Bruce.
So, well, Dave, thanks for calling in today. I appreciate your quick number dialing at the top of the show.
No problem, man. I just wanted to get that thing out about George Allen.
Good old George.
Yeah, you know. I think that he should just come out and just run for the Grand Dragon, and I'm sure he'll get the number of votes.
You know, I'm sure he would probably win handily.
That's what I'm saying. It's a rising political party. I think he's missing his chance right now.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Take it easy.
All right, man. That was our good friend David from Maine calling in to talk about the racist George Allen. Yeah, I called him a racist. Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go right back to the phone lines. We have another person hanging on the line. Hang right there. I'll get right to you. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network, simulcast on radiopower.org. I'll be right back.
And the men who hold high dreams who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States. How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free? I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything. Yeah.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 23 minutes past the hour here in the eastern United States. Joining us on the free speech phone line at 1-877-443-2366 is our old pal Jim. Jim, how are you doing today?
Yeah, old pal Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I feel pretty, very human today.
You sound a lot better. You sound like you feel good. Glad that you have begun to mend.
Yes.
I just put my absentee ballot in the mail, and
good for you.
And with a big old yank that donkey's tail, and thought I would do that. But, you know, I agree with what David said earlier. The best position that we can take as Democrats or as Americans or whatever we're going to be is to tell the truth. And that way, if you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about somebody coming up behind you, catching you in a lie. You don't have to worry about telling another lie to cover that lie up. And you won't be caught up in the predilection of your own destruction because of the lies. We've seen too many people try to use weasel words and technically get out of stuff. I mean, just to give people the straight skinny. And, I guarantee you'll come out better for the long run.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, it's really interesting, Jim, because there's so many lies that have come out of the Bush administration that it's hard keeping up with them all.
No, well, listen, these guys are so crooked they use a corkscrew for a ruler. You know that. I mean,
and
even the guy who sits there and with a big pot belly and a can of beer and watches whatever, WWF or whether they want to watch American Idol, you know, even these
it's
people.
It's WWE now, by the way.
Oh, are they? Of the McMahon,
yeah.
Where have they gone?
They had to change the name because the World Wildlife Federation, anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I still love Ric Flair, though. Nature Girl.
Nature Girl.
Listen, let me tell you, I saw him wrestle one time, and I said that, and he almost jumped out of that ring to whip my ass.
Uh-oh.
And that was back in Columbia, the Township Auditorium. But I digress, but anyway. But I just think, you know, the best thing we can do is just tell the truth, and you know, you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's the only way to do it. And I think
they're doing their best to keep the facts from coming out. You know, the National Intelligence Estimate, of course, which was leaked. And, of course, what did they do? They didn't focus on the what was in the report. They focused on the fact that it was leaked.
Well, and I wonder who leaked it.
I'm thinking somebody in the CIA who was a little upset about Valerie Plame, maybe.
Well, could be. I mean, you know, it's I've had to sit down with my tarot cards to try to work that one out. But anyway, people are just tired of this crap. And they're tired of all this stuff, of these spins and things like that. And I just hope that we can see something happen after November 7th that will bring this country together and that we can stop hating each other and that we can pull together and that we can just get the hell out of Southwest Asia. If we possibly can, and not get our asses kicked over there, because if we start going into Iran, you know who's going to get involved in that thing. It's going to be Russia and China, and there will go the neighborhood. That's for damn sure, and you know it. We won't have to worry about anything then if they get into it. They're not going to stand by and see Iran invaded.
You don't think so?
Hell no. No, sir. They're not going to see the territorial integrity of that country violated again. I mean, you know, already, and I saw this in last week's Time magazine, and I know a lot of people don't think a lot of time. They say it's for people who can't read, but they still have some pretty good articles in there. Now, they have 1,500 targets already set in Iran, okay? Because we don't have troops enough for the manpower to go in there and invest the country. We don't have enough boots on the ground. And if these people are stupid enough to go ahead and bomb that country, then all I can say is Deus conservat omnia. God protect us all. I hope not even they're that damn stupid, because they will cast forth a net which is most unprofitable will be ensnared. And I'm not trying to be a Cassandra and predict doom and nobody pay attention, but that's just the way I see it.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of indications that things are heading that direction, Jim. And I guess it got me somewhat worried. I actually, you know, my mother, my dear sainted mother, called me this afternoon.
Yeah.
Scared because of all the stuff she was reading about the Iran thing. She goes, Bruce, we have a madman in the White House.
Of course. I mean, this guy's just nuts. I mean, there's nothing wrong with him. I've said that before on this program and other programs, and I think that he really is his behavior is just totally asymmetrical. And that's just a nice way of saying I think he's nuts.
Yep.
I mean, I don't mean any disrespect toward the man or the office, but I mean, that's just the way I feel. I mean, you know, this is a free country. I mean, if the ACLU can defend Fred Phelps, then I can say that, and it's not defamatory. But, I mean, the actions of the past indicate to me that somebody up there is just not playing with a full deck. I mean, that's just my personal opinion, and I'm not inciting to riot. I'm not making defamatory statements about anybody, and I'm not writing anything that's libelous or whatever. That's just my opinion. And like high and end, everybody's got one, and most of them stink, but that's just mine.
Right. Well, the man is a nutcase.
So, well, I mean, when you start going into countries and stuff like that, and you start getting big nations like China and Russia involved in these things, and they will get involved, let me tell you, they're not going to stand by and watch Ahmadinejad go down the tubes. They're just not going to do it.
And I also think it's, of course, we talked last week about the interesting relationship that is developing between al-Maliki and... So I don't know. It's all, I think, and again, this all may be just diplomatic cover for something else entirely.
Well, I just hope that Mr. Yeltsin, not Yeltsin, but Mr., my Lord, our friend from the KGB who's running things in Moscow, Mr. Putin. And the chairman of the Chinese Politburo, if that's still the ruling organization in Beijing, I hope that they will state in no uncertain terms, if this is what you do, we're going to kick your ass. And that's the only thing these people understand. I hate to say that, but I mean, I would rather for them to go ahead and say it than for somebody to start pushing buttons somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Freedom's on the march, Jim.
Well, I just hope that they will just simply tell these people in Washington that, you know, enough is enough is enough. Like Tammy Faye said in one of her songs, enough is enough. And that's about all I have to say other than I hope you live long and prosper.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Spock.
And we will see you on the other side of Uranus.
Uh-oh.
That's a planet, Uranus. Excuse me, Uranus.
That's a planet. That's a planet, yes.
That's right. Neptune's the one that got declassified. I think they should thank Neptune Bush. We'll see you, Bruce.
Okay, thanks a lot, man. Have a good afternoon. That was our friend Jim. We're going to take a break. This is the Bruce Burge Radio Program. If you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me. Bruce@BruceBurge.com. This is the Head On Radio Network, simulcast on RadioPower.org. We'll be right back.
You got my pride hanging out of my bed. You mess with my life, so I bite my lip. You even mess with my children, and you're screaming at my wife. Get off of my bed if you want to get out of here alive.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. So it turns out that the National Intelligence Estimate on Terrorism does confirm what we've been saying all along, that the Iraq War is fueling terrorism. In the words of the estimate, which is the sum of the wisdom of our 16 intelligence agencies, Bush's Iraq War has become a cause célèbre for jihadists. A lot of the news reports said that the estimate listed the Iraq Jihad as one of the four underlying factors that are fueling the spread of the jihadist movement. But if you read the relevant declassified passage closely, you'll see that Iraq plays a role in three of the four underlying factors. The first factor is entrenched grievances, which includes fear of Western domination. And the Iraq War certainly has fueled this fear, for what could be more dominating than occupying a Muslim country for years on end? The second factor is the Iraq Jihad itself. Bingo. The third factor is the slow pace of reforms. That one doesn't apply. But the fourth factor is pervasive anti-U.S. sentiment among most Muslims. Again, the Iraq War contributes to just this sentiment. So three of the four factors identified by our intelligence communities relate to the Iraq War, how Bush can then turn around and say that we wouldn't see a rosier scenario with fewer extremists joining the radical movement if we weren't in Iraq, is not only beyond me, but beyond his own intelligence experts. No matter the facts, he keeps to the script. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 35 minutes past the hour here on the show. A couple of quick phone calls out of the gate there. And people talking about Lyon and at George Allen. And, well, I've got something here that just came across the wire. And apparently a few minutes ago about while we were talking on the phone with David, the House of Representatives approved legislation giving the Bush administration authority to interrogate and prosecute terrorism detainees. Let's interchange one of those words. Let's interchange the word interrogate and slip in torture. Let me read this again. The House approved legislation Wednesday giving the Bush administration authority to torture and prosecute terrorism detainees. Moving the Bush man, the stupid guy, to the edge of a pre-election victory with a key piece of his anti-terror plan. The mostly party line 253-168 vote in the Republican-run House came shortly after senators agreed to limit debate on their own nearly identical bill, all but assuring its passage tomorrow. Republican leaders are hoping to work out differences and send Bush a final version before leaving town this weekend to campaign for their lives for the November 7th congressional elections. Apparently, House Majority Leader John Boehner, are dash obviously all but dared Democrats to vote against the demonstration or the legislation. He is quoted as asking before members cast their ballots, quote, "Will my Democrat friends work with Republicans to give the president the tools he needs to continue to stop terrorist attacks before they happen, or will they vote to force him to fight the terrorists with one arm tied behind his back?" Well, if that one arm, John Boehner, happens to be justice, then yes. We need to have that one arm back there. Democrats opposed the bill by a 5-1 margin, with many wanting to tone down the powers it would give to Bush and the limits it would impose on terror war suspects' abilities to defend themselves during trials. Dennis Kucinich said, quote, "This bill is everything we don't believe in." Good on you, Dennis. Nancy Pelosi also today came out and had some things to say, specifically blasting the House for their maneuvering and not allowing a debate on this bill. And in the Senate, of course, they are trying to come around to some last-minute. Apparently, what I'm understanding is that they have limited debate on the bill to 12 hours, or I think it is. So already it's pretty much a done deal. We are now known, ladies and gentlemen, not only are we known as a nation that advocates preemptive warfare, now we're known as a nation that advocates torture openly, because we all know that it already went on kind of behind the scenes anyway, right? I mean, don't we all know that happened? Don't we know that down there, John Negroponte, with the death squads down in South America, we know that there was already torture being done, don't we? But now it's official. And you know what? Maybe that's not such a bad thing. Maybe now the rest of the world, maybe now we get to see exactly how the rest of the world views us. The rest of the world knows the truth, folks. We're the ones who don't, who haven't. We're the ones who have been turning a blind eye to the actions of people who supposedly are acting in our best interest, but in actuality are acting in their own best interest. And it's difficult, yes, to look at it. It's difficult to say, you know, we don't stand for torture. Well, you know something? It's been going on for a long, long time. It's just that now it's come out. Now it's come out, and now it's official. We're torturers! And what Christian principle would that be, Mr. Born-Again Christian George Bush? Taking a deep breath, taking a deep breath. Let's go ahead over to the phone lines. We've got Susan from Columbia. On line one, Susan, how are you doing?
Yeah, Columbia City, Oregon.
Columbia City, Oregon. Are you Suzanne or Susan?
Susan,
okay. We've talked before, haven't we?
Yep.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Would you like to know what I've spent my morning doing?
I'd love to know.
Well, part of my name on the Internet is Trouble, so I've spent my morning causing trouble. I have spent the morning calling senators, any senator I could get my hands on, specifically McCain, Spector. Doesn't necessarily have to be the Oregon senators, although I did include them. I'm trying to be nice. And I informed them, hey, you vote for this torture bill, you are going to be known as the people who voted for not only torture, but it's going to be the guys who voted for the bill that allowed George Bush to get away from being prosecuted for war crimes.
Right.
Guess what, folks? That's going to scuttle your presidential aspirations. You think about that real close before you vote.
And what kind of response did you get, Susan?
A lot of silence on the other end. And then we'll pass that on, Senator. I don't think any of them had read that stupid bill.
Well, I think it's I tried to bring that out yesterday on the show, drawing people's attention to the fact that there was that little provision hidden into the bill that basically would exonerate him going back to September the 11th.
Yeah, he gets away with everything. And I don't know about you, but when we take back the House and Senate, I want to be able to come after him with subpoenas. I'm funny that way. I'm the vengeful sort. And
holding people accountable for their actions. I thought isn't that one of those family values they talk about?
Well, that may be, but I'm also all heavy. I'm part Scott, so I'm heavy into a pound of flesh. And I understand a lot about the attitudes that are prevailing in the Arab world today, because in a way they parallel the Scots, the way they were, the way they existed, and their whole being is wrapped up in one thing. if you do something wrong to them, if they don't get you, their descendants will. Think about it.
Oh, yeah.
So we may be facing retribution two or three generations down the line.
Never-ending war, right?
Yeah.
And that's and I can't help but think that that's exactly the kind of environment that they're trying to create.
There are feuds in Scotland that nobody knows what started them. They're that old.
Yep.
And that's a nice, civilized country. You know,
well,
it just blows you away when you start thinking of this.
And even when you start thinking of the larger context of the possibility that this guy would be so stupid as to invade Iran,
oh.
it even further boggles the brain. You know, it doesn't seem like a possibility. It's too much to wrap my head around.
Yeah, before I became disabled, I worked for a very short time with a woman who was Iranian American. And she didn't have any sympathy for the people in Iran or the mullahs or any of that. And we got to talking about politics and George Bush one day, and she said, if we invade Iran, we're going to pull black bloody stump. This is not some toy army like Saddam had. These people spent decades fighting him. They believe in human wave attacks, and if necessary, they've been known to clear minefields by running children through them. They do what they have to survive.
Yes, they did. And how do we look to them, I wonder? When they wake up in the morning and they look at their newspaper and they see George Bush, I wonder what the reaction is.
Soft, soft, easy meat. I'm sorry, that's what we come across as. It's just...
Well, Susan, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate your thoughts on this today.
Yeah, but I urge everybody, start calling senators. It doesn't have to be your senator. Call anybody's senator.
Absolutely.
And
I think, actually, Olympia Snow and Susan Collins are the two that are hanging in the balance right now.
Uh-huh. Start saying, hey, you want to be known as the person that let this dude off? Make him think.
Absolutely.
I know I had a lot of fun doing it.
Well, and that's good. I mean, you know, what I'll try to do is... let's see if we can't dig up some numbers for these folks, and we'll give them out on the air here after the top of the hour.
Well, go to U.S. Just Google U.S. Senate, and you can start pulling in senators by name. You know, they've got a whole list. Doesn't matter. You can just go through the list. They've got their phone numbers up there. If you have Skype or something like that, you just start punching in numbers. Anyway, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in, Susan, and I hope you have a wonderful evening.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's our new friend, Susan, from Columbia City, Oregon. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network simulcast on radiopower.org. If you want to get in on the show today, it's 1-877-443-2366.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI, it was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online, and even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Zappa there,
dog breath.
All right, it's 52 minutes past the hour. Let's go straight back to the phones. We've got Sarge on line 2. Sarge, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good there. Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, I was just wondering about that news that you just broke. And there's one question I have to ask. What did Nancy Pelosi say before the vote?
That's a good question. Actually, no, you know what, I'll have to pull that up and I can tell you. But I think there was a statement that she made before the vote, but they were not allowed to debate it.
Yeah, that's totally stupid. I don't see how, I take that back. I do see how the Democrats allowed that. But, you know, no debate stuff. That's so un-American. Every time I hear that, I just want to pull my hair out or borrow Mike's ice pick, poke myself in the eye, and all of that good stuff that Malloy does, you know. But why in the world do we allow this stuff to keep going on, Bruce?
Well, you know, the reality is that it's, I don't know that it's even about us allowing. They're going to do what they want. Once they're elected and put into office, they're going to do what they want. They're going to look out only after their own best interest. And quite honestly, this Republican, or excuse me, this Democratic Congress, the Democratic side of this Congress, has been trying to hedge its bets and pick its battles instead of trying to block everything that comes down the pike. And you know what? It's been a miserable failure, because when they let one thing through and then try to throw up some sort of half-hearted opposition to the next thing that comes down the line, you know, nobody takes it seriously.
Yeah, and let's keep our powder dry, and in the meantime, the enemy's done captured the objective, and you're sitting there going, well, at least I got dry powder. You know, I mean, it's useless. What good is it?
I'm going to tell you something here too. This sort of like, you know, this is tying into something that I was going to talk about earlier, but I got kind of sidetracked, which is okay, because the calls started coming in, and that's what we do here. But it kind of amazes me that all of a sudden, after Bill Clinton, and Chris Wallace had their little, little shouting match or whatever back and forth there on Fox News, that all of a sudden the Democrats are coming out fighting. It's almost like they needed to have someone stand up and say, "Wait a minute, we got to do battle with these people." And it's like they've taken their cue from him when they should have been doing this all along. Where's the leadership?
Well, that's my question. My question.
Now, where's the leadership?
Where are they? You know, we got some really good people that's running right now. If we can get them in office, it certainly will help. But the question is, are we too far gone to reverse this trend? And
I really don't think we are. Here's what I think, Sarge, about that. And that is that we've got to take the Democratic side has to take back the House, has to take back the Senate, and provide a check on the power, the unchecked power, 5 years of unchecked power of the executive branch of government. Now, once we do get that back, then we start holding these people's feet to the fire, and we start to say to Nancy Pelosi, look, you better get busy now. You've got the ball. If you don't run with it, and if you don't try to score a goal for our side, then you're going to go, and we're going to pick somebody else.
Well, I don't have much faith in Nancy. I'll be honest with you. I think Fancy Nancy's too corporate owned. I have dealt with that woman for months now, and every time I think I'm starting to feel like she's fixing to rise up and act like a leader, she shows me she's not. And I really have my fears of her. But then again, we've got a Democrat right here in Mississippi. That Gene Taylor, that's only a so-so Democrat anyway. So, I mean, you know, that really scares me is when are we going to make issues? I mean, this deal about let's don't bring up, the impeachment issue because it'll rally the GOP. Well, folks, they're going to be rallied around that anyway, because if they see a chance to bring it up, they're going to. And this thing of this tippy-toe around the Republicans, it's just not going to work, because they don't play by any rules except the rules that they feel they need at the time. And we Democrats, if we don't start saying, okay, you don't play by the rules, but we're going to bring it out every time you violate a rule, that's the only way we're going to stop these people. And I just get so frustrated, because I get so tired of us just giving in and giving in. We've got to stand up and say, Mr. Bush, you broke the law. You committed an impeachable offense. You, sir, will answer. Because, after all, aren't you the one that said you're going to bring integrity to the White House? Well, where the hell is it?
And not only that, Sarge, you know, and I've got to really quickly, I've got to take a break, but to the top of the hour news there. But not only that, but where are the Democrats on the voting machine issue? They have, you know, we can raise all the hell we want, but if the votes aren't counted the right way, guess what? They're back in power.
Okay, I'm going to let you go, Bruce, but before I go, I want to mention my site, powersandmorrison.com. I got a Coyote Shyster up today if anyone's interested.
Very cool, very cool.
Okay.
Coyote Shyster is a parody on Wolf Blitzer.
That's right, the old Wolf at the Door Blitzer, the U-boat commander. And, oh, by the way, the interviews he's doing today are with Malloy and Palace.
Interest. That should be interesting to read.
Thanks
okay, so
much, I'm going to let you go, buddy.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. That's our good friend Sarge from Southern Mississippi joining us on the radio program today. We're going to take a quick break for the top of the hour news. This is Bruce Birch radio program. For archives, please visit whiterosesociety.org. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. At the White House today, spokesman Tony Snow said the full national intelligence estimate from April will not be released because it would jeopardize the lives of the agents who collected the information. The portion of the NIE that was made public concluded that Iraq has become a cause célèbre for jihadists. However, it also stated that if the jihadists lose in Iraq, they will also lose their ability to recruit new members. On Capitol Hill today, the Senate is expected to vote on an additional $70 billion to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan as part of the $448 billion Pentagon budget. Also on Capitol Hill, Republicans in the House and Senate have cleared the way for legislation on terrorism detainees. It gives President Bush the authority to detain, interrogate, and try them before military commissions. At the White House this evening, President Bush will hold a dinner with Afghan President Hamid Karzai and Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf. For the past few months, the leaders of the two neighboring countries have criticized each other's efforts in fighting terrorism along their shared border. Saudi Arabia plans to build a 560-mile fence along its border with Iraq. It is part of a $12 billion security package to protect the oil-rich country from external threats. In Baghdad, a U.S. military commander says the insurgent attacks have increased in the past 2 weeks. This is the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. Today in northern Baghdad, outside of a Sunni mosque, a shootout killed at least 10 people and wounded 11. A survey of Iraqis by the University of Maryland finds that 71% would like to see the U.S.-led forces withdraw from their country in a year. The poll results also show most Iraqis believe the U.S. military presence is creating more conflict than it is preventing. In Berlin, Iran's top nuclear negotiator met with the foreign policy chief of the European Union for talks. Meanwhile, in Tehran today, Iran's president vowed that his country would never give up its right to nuclear technology. In Washington today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice gave Sudan an ultimatum to accept the UN force in Darfur. She said the country must decide between, quote, cooperation and confrontation with the rest of the world. Meanwhile, a bill aimed at helping to end the bloodshed in Darfur is headed to President Bush's desk. And the Republican Party has chosen Minneapolis-St. Paul as the location for the 2008 presidential convention. You're listening to QNN.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The New York City Health Department may ban artificial trans fatty acids. They are commonly listed as partially hydrogenated oil on food labels and are found in shortening, margarine, and frying oils. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed a bill today that imposes an emissions cap on utilities, refineries, and manufacturing plants. It's the first-of-its-kind legislation to cap greenhouse gas emissions in the nation. In August, new home sales showed the largest increase in 5 months. The Commerce Department reports they went up 4.1%. The Commerce Department also reports that U.S. factory orders for big-ticket manufactured goods fell in August for the second month in a row. The American Bankers Association reports that the percentage of late credit card payments went up in the second quarter. The head of Renault Nissan met with the chief executive of GM for talks in Paris today on a possible three-way alliance. 7-Eleven announced it is dropping Citgo, the Venezuelan-backed gasoline supplier, partly because of anti-Bush comments Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez made at the United Nations last week. The convenience store operator is launching its own brand of fuel to sell at 2,100 of its 5,300 U.S. stores. Light sweet crude settled at $62.96 a barrel today, and the Dow Jones neared but fell short of a record close today. The Dow was up 20 points, the Nasdaq up 2, the S&P 500 flat. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program with your host, Bruce Birch.
Welcome back to the program. It's about 6 minutes past the top of the hour here, and we've been talking a lot about what's been going on regarding the torturous situation George Bush and his little detainee bill there. You know that little detainee bill, you know, the little inconsequential detainee bill, the one that's going to make him exonerated going back to September the 11th, 2001, the one that's going to be a pre-pardoning of sorts. Yeah, the same one that's going to allow him to torture detainees as much as he wants wherever he has them. Now, one of the big questions I have about this, let's say I say something on the air that he disagrees with, or that they decide they're at the some whatever command central, the basement of the White House or whatever, they decide that what I said gives aid and comfort to the enemy and therefore declare me an enemy combatant. Does that mean they can hold me also and torture me? Well, I don't know. I think this is a very, they're treading on very thin legal ice with this one. And time will tell, of course, how it goes down. But what I would like for you to do, if you can, is to call at least two senators tomorrow morning. Call them this evening, too. What the heck? Call them this evening, too. You know, because I think it would be very advantageous to do that. The first one I have a number for is Olympia Snow. Got a pencil and paper ready? I want you to call these folks. Please do this. Either that or fax them. Olympia Snow, telephone number 202-224-5344. 202-224-5344. Tell her to vote no on the detainee bill. Remind her that it is a vote to commit America to being a torturous nation. Remind her that it is a vote to exonerate the president from war crimes that he may have committed over the last 5 years. 202-224-5344. All right, that's the first one. Now I've got another number for you. Susan Collins, All right? Susan Collins. Washington, D.C. office, 202-224-2523. One more time, 202-224-2523. Tell her the same thing you tell Olympia Snow, that a vote yes on this bill would be a vote to commit Americans to being a torturous nation. Okay? You can do that in between today and tomorrow. Call your own senators, too. You know, you can, all you got to do is Google their name. If you put into a search engine the name of your senator and then the word phone behind it, it'll pop right up to their contact information, and you can call them right away. All right? I don't know if I could make it any plainer. The future of our republic depends, you know, and the future of what we are, who we stand, you know, what we stand for and who we are as a people depends on the outcome of this vote in the Senate. Convince these senators who are sitting on the fence that they need to err on the side of caution. This bill is nothing more than a get-out-of-jail-free card for the Bush administration and those who have committed torturous acts in our name. That's all it is. Very plain, very simple, to the point, that's what it stands for. If you are against torture, pick up the phone and make the call. I'm also being told in the chat room that there is a 1-800 number. That number is 1-800-808-0065. 1-800-808-0065. And it's bill number 3930 is what I'm being told. That's what I'm being told. I can't verify that right this second, but pick up the phone, call your senators, tell them to do the right thing for the American people and the right thing for the American way of life, and vote no on the detainee bill. Let's go right over to the phone lines at 1-877-443-2366. We've got our good friend Wayne on line one. Wayne, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
Listen, this bill, you know, if this bill is passed, it gives him the right to decide whether or not the Geneva Convention applies.
Right.
That's what it does. It also says that you cannot invoke, and I'd have to go back and look at it. I guess if you're a foreigner, you cannot invoke the Geneva Convention in the United States. Now, you know, so what he's doing is getting rid of the Geneva Convention. That's what he's doing. And you know, I told you how upset I was with religious people and religious leaders. I said on Bob's show last night, and I'll say it again, I have started calling my religious leaders. In every community or town, you know, Beckley's not very big. There's a organization of religious leaders from all the different things. And I've started to call them. And, you know, I called the head of the organization, and he explained to me that their internationals, or whatever you want to call them, have written letters. And so, you know, they feel that's good enough and they're not going to do. Well, that isn't good enough. You know, I think that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, how can you not be against this? And how can you not act? I don't know how to say it any plainer than that.
Well, it can't be said any plainer, Wayne.
You know
what happened to the principle, the whole thing about turn the other cheek, right?
Well, exactly. And you know, there are so many ways of going about, so many better ways of going about this. I mean, you know, and this just didn't start yesterday. I mean, it's been going on for many, many administrations, Republican, Democrat, whatever. I mean, not as bad as what they're doing. But, I mean, the things that have got us into this. And there's a different direction. that can go. And it's not by killing everyone. I mean, that's their answer. Just kill everyone.
Possibly, you know, as the saying goes, we're creating terrorists faster than we can kill them.
Yes, we are. And I think that could be corrected. I really think it could be corrected. But I got to say it again, you know, please, when you call these senators and ask them, also start to call your church leaders or question your church leaders. Are we for this? And if we aren't, why aren't we speaking out against it? And, you know, I'm very confused with the Christian. I don't know how you could claim to be that and not be very upset about this. It's beyond.
Well, in the times of Adolf Hitler, when, you know, he said basically, well, they came for those people,
when they came for me.
Yep. And at what point do you stand up and make a stand and say no more? And I'll take whatever consequences are due me, but I will not allow this to happen. I will not stand in solidarity and allow these people to get away with this.
The point is now.
Point is now.
It is now. Oh. Okay, bro. I got to go mow the grass so I can put up my political signs.
All right, my friend. You do that.
Okay.
And thanks a lot, man. I hope it all, you know. Don't keel over out there now, all right?
No, it's nice. I got my Pittsburgh Steeler long sleeve shirt on and everything. It's
all
an
right.
Absolutely beautiful day, you know. I'm not going to get heat stroke and all that.
Okay.
I'll be okay.
All right.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
Thanks a lot, Wayne.
Bye.
Okay, you too. Bye. And that was our good friend Wayne from West Virginia. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get more into some of this other stuff we want to cover today. This is the Bruce Burge Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network, being simulcast on RadioPower.org. I'll be right back.
Michael Franti, Legacy and LZ in the place. Gone International with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass. We get in wild. Text bomb, gets the last word. I don't understand the whole reason why you're telling us all that we need to unify. Rally round the flag and beat the drums of war. Sing the same old songs, we heard them all before. You're telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it. When I see it's idiotic, the tears of one mother are the same as any other. Drop food on your kids while you're murdering the fathers. But don't bother to show it on CNN. Brothers and sisters, don't believe them that it's war against evil. It's really just revenge engaged on the poorest by the same rich men.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. But we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. Because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis.
Minutes past the hour on the Bruce Burke radio program. Welcome back to the show. If you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, Head On. That'll get you into the studios of the Head On Radio Network there in wild, wonderful West Virginia. What a day it's been. Oh, man, we've been talking about torture. We've been talking about a lot of different things. Wayne made a good point. And, you know, Wayne, who was just on the phone a minute ago, I don't know if you've been listening, but if you're just now tuning into the program, one of our recurring and favorite callers called in. Actually, they're all favorite callers, but one of our recurring and favorite callers called in today and basically said, if you're Christian and you're not against torture, how can you call yourself a Christian? If you believe yourself to be a Christian and you are in favor of the president being able to torture terrorist suspects, terrorism suspects, how can you call yourself a Christian? Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't answer that because of personal reasons. But but the bottom line for me is that the bottom line is that if you purport to espouse certain beliefs. And yet, like love thy neighbor, like, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, blah, blah, blah. And then you turn around and you support the government engaging in behaviors like this. Isn't that being a little bit hypocritical? Well, I certainly hope that you are getting on the phone. That's why you're not calling me. Is that you're actually calling your senators and your congressmen and your, congressmen is a little late for that because the House already passed the bill. But I certainly hope you're getting on the telephone and calling your senators, and even if you hit an answering machine, leave a message. And you know what? Start up again tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Look up your senators' telephone numbers. Look up read the news in the morning. Find out who's sitting on the fence and besiege them with phone calls. I recommended Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins mainly because they tend to be two of the Republican senators who have voted both ways in the past. Another one you may want to look into giving a call is Lincoln Chafee, Rhode Island. besiege these people with phone calls. Let them know that you do not believe in torture. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We are standing at the edge of a precipice right now. And I can't, you know, I may be accused of being dramatic over this situation, but the bottom line is that there's a number of things that are wrapped up in the middle of this bill. It's not just about torture. It's also about pardoning the president before he even gets charged with a crime. We need to give the professionals the tools they need to do their jobs, is what he said. And what he meant by that is we need to give them free rein to break the law and to torture people and to do whatever they can do to get information out of people, therefore, making us all safe. I got news for you. They can do all the torture in the world, and it's not going to make us safe. Because the bottom line here is that through all the torture, through all the rendition, the kidnapping, the snatching of mothers and fathers and children off of the streets of these nations, we're creating whole families who hate us. And what fuels extremism? One thing, what fuels extremism? Hate. So the more hate that we generate through our actions, the more likely we are to be hit with a terrorist attack of some sort or another. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know? And so as we're doing this, as I said to Wayne, we're creating terrorists faster than we can kill them, and we absolutely are. And you know what? On the same token, the people that we're holding, are they going to be able to successfully defend themselves? There has been more than one case of a person snatched off the street in a case of identity confusion and had come to find out later that they weren't even remotely involved in any kind of terrorist act. And released. But they were held for how long? 2-3 years? And if they're not able to see the evidence against them, how can they successfully defend themselves? This whole bill stinks to high heaven. Stinks to high heaven. And you know what? They're doing the same thing that they did on the Medicare bill. They're doing the same thing they did on the Patriot Act. They're doing the same thing that they did on every other bill that has impacted our lives in a huge way. They're doing a rush job on it. And I don't know about you, but in the construction trade where I came up out of, when you do a rush job, you always end up having to go back and fix it. Because a rush job, all that does is create more problems. And you know what? With these rush jobs in the Congress, it's absolutely no different at all whatsoever. It's 6:30 here on the eastern coast of the United States. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into more of this. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. We don't have poll taxes anymore, the hurdles that white southern lawmakers erected so that blacks and poor whites would trip on the way to the voting booth. And this year, Republicans aren't relying on the computers to win the elections in November, or on Catherine Harris-like stunts to illegally purge citizens from the voter rolls. No, this year, Republicans are trying to legally purge citizens, and they're doing it by passing laws in state after state that require voters to have government-issued ID cards or proof of citizenship in order to be permitted to exercise the right to the franchise. Republicans say they're merely trying to combat voter fraud, but the incidence of fraud is low, and anyway, it's already a felony. The real reason for these new laws is to tilt the electorate toward the Republicans. The people who are going to be disenfranchised the most are the poor and the elderly who don't have driver's licenses. Elderly African Americans will be especially disadvantaged because many of them were born at home and don't have birth certificates or driver's licenses. This group, by the way, typically turns out and votes Democratic at a higher percentage than any other. A coincidence? Don't bet on it. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's 35 minutes past the hour. Got a number of other stories I wanted to get to. Your phone calls are also very welcome if you want to call in. I hope you're using your phone line to call your senator right now. But if you're not and you want to call me, feel free to do so. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. All right? You know the number. There it is. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I was looking at some of the political stories. I'm looking at some of the political stories, and you know what? This whole torture thing, this whole bill, half of it, it's not even mentioned. Not even mentioned. You know, the only reason why it was even mentioned in the Yahoo News that I looked up was because the House passed it. But now you can go to the front page of the Yahoo website, and where it says in the news, it's not even in the list. Not even in the list. And those of you who have been watching the evening news, I'll bet you very little mention was made of it. Wash it. Wash it. Don't let people know what's going on. So if they knew what was really going on, they might come out in the streets. They might try to quash this. Anyway, apparently, let's just go down. Let's do a rundown of some of the top stories here. Now, you know, there's a bunch of political, of course, the political season is heating up. There's a bunch of races out there that are very tight, and then people are getting very heated. You know, we've talked about George Allen earlier today. We talked about some of the others, you know, that have been going on yesterday. I talked about Santorum and the fact that he was down 12 points to Bob Casey. Looks like Sherrod Brown is quite possibly leading Mike DeWine in Ohio. Bob Menendez leading Tom Kaine in New Jersey. I think we've got the makings of a Democratic Senate. Now, I read an article earlier today. The political punditry out there has been making much hay out of this election because it looks like it could be a barn burner for many, many contests. Now, the conventional wisdom, the CW, the conventional wisdom has been that the House would probably change hands and go over to the Democratic Party. Well, a lot of pundits are now reversing that, and they're saying, no, it may very well be the Senate instead. That there are a number of Senate seats because it would only take five seats, or six seats, I should say, to change hands in the Senate, while in the House, 15 seats would have to change hands for it to become a Democratic majority House. I'm going to make a stunning prediction here on the Bruce Burch Radio Program. My prediction is, if I had a drum roll, I would do a drum roll, but I don't have one readily available, so we won't do the drum roll today. My prediction is that both houses of Congress will go to the Democrats. That's my prediction. Now, if I'm wrong, what will I do? Let's see. Let me think. I'll admit it. How about that? I'll do something that most politicians never do. I'll admit that I'm wrong. All right, that's my prediction. Both houses of Congress will go over to the Democrats this time around, and then there will be a contentious January, very contentious January. Interesting story from Media Matters today, or actually from editorandpublisher.com. Apparently, a study has recently been done, and that study was really more or less a search to find out how much coverage the war, the occupation, the invasion, and the subsequent occupation of Iraq, how much coverage it's making in network TV, newspapers, etc. And apparently, the media is losing a lot of interest with Iraq. And according to the unscientific study that was taken, or the search that was done, very little news about Iraq is appearing on the front pages of newspapers. The Boston Globe, between September 1 and September 21st, the Boston Globe had zero stories about Iraq on the front page. San Diego Union Tribune, zero stories. Hartford Current, zero stories. Houston Chronicle, zero stories. St. Louis Post-Dispatch, zero stories. USA Today, one story between September the 1st and September the 21st was on their front page related to Iraq. One story. Of course, the two newspapers that held the highest was Washington Post with 17 in that 21-day period and the New York Times with 12. Could this be a conscious decision to try to take the attention away from the increasing violence in the civil war that's happening in Iraq? You tell me. And this comes at the same time that a poll in Iraq, conducted by the Program on International Policy Attitudes from the University of Maryland, conducted a poll on the occupation of Iraq, and here are some of the findings. 6 in 10 Iraqis approve of attacks on U.S.-led forces, up from fewer than half in an earlier poll in January. 60% of Iraqis polled approve of attacks on U.S.-led forces. Nearly 8 in 10, 80%, nearly 80%, of the respondents in the poll say that the U.S. presence in Iraq is provoking more conflict than it's preventing. 80% say our presence in Iraq is provoking more conflict than it's preventing. 47% say they believe their country is headed in the right direction, down from 64% in January. Less than half say the country is headed in the right direction. 63% say the Maliki government is doing a good job. Most, 64%, most have confidence in the Iraqi army and police to protect their security. Although the same people said 8 in 10 said they lack such confidence in our troops. So they are trusting their own folks, but they're not trusting us. 37% want U.S. troops to withdraw within 6 months. An additional 34%, that would be 71%, 70% want our troops to be gone within the next year. This is a poll done in Iraq. 53% are confident that Iraqi security forces will be strong enough to deal with security challenges in 6 months. And that's up 14 points since January. These numbers don't look good, folks. I thought we were going to, you know, this was all about flowers and candy and the liberation of the nation of Iraq, and what it's turned into is we have become the most hated entity there. Doesn't bode well for our troops at all, does it? Certainly doesn't. All right, let's go ahead and take Steady on line one. Steady, are you there, my friend? Steady, line one, are you there?
Yeah, we're right here. Hi.
Hey.
I just posted up a link there, and I'm calling for a different reason, but I want to share that link with people regarding an article that came out in the local Ventura paper, Ventura County Star, today regarding a ceremony on September 11th. It's a very strong criticism of an event that Gallagly attended. Let me remind people that Elton Gallagly is the incumbent congressman in the 24th District, California, that I'm riding in against. But I want to just point out, as I flash that link up there, that that was an event that happened. Today's the 27th. That was a September 11th event. Why are they writing this article now? This is just local politics in my district. It's not, well, it has national implications by way of the election, but Rowdy just said they did it in a lot of communities, same type of thing, where the September 11th event was used as a pro-military Republican platform. And in my specific area here, when Reagan died, he was brought right through from Point Magoo right through the whole county out to Simi Valley. And this is the crew that held the same event. Check that. It's not the same crew, but the same crew used the event. And that's just something I want people to look at as they read that, considering what's going on in my district and some of the things that happened to me. I'm not sure what's going on. There's been a big shakeup at the Santa Barbara's Free Press. A lot of editors walked out, and there's a big shakeup going on around here. I'm not sure what's happening, but the main reason why I'm calling, when you gave the phone number for the Senator Snow.
Yes.
Yeah, and I dialed. It rang for 3 minutes, and then I called back again, and I left a message just basically, hey, we're not for torture. We don't want America to be associated with torture, and me and Joe Lunchbox wants nothing to do with that. No on anything regarding
good
torture.
For you.
Just, you know, it just... pretty simple. He said, how can you... pretty simple. But
burn,
I'm...
burn the lines up.
Yeah, yes, sir. That's... wow. Looking towards November 7th, gave out that phone number, I'm just going to venture to the room and those who listen, and yourself and Bob. You know, I don't really have a staff, but I'm seeing a potential for phone banking. As soon as I qualify, you know, I'm going to have a demographic CD with phone numbers and people to call and mailing lists. That's available to candidates, for, you know, and they give, you know, people who come to phone bank. And maybe we can set a precedent, do something that's never been done by way of the chat room and the netcast, say from November 1st through the 7th in my district. It's just a thought. This is a roundtable via, you know, the chat room and this netcast, and throw it out to you and Thank you. Have a nice day, sir. I'm here. Over.
All right. Well, steady over and out. But thank you for your call. We'll definitely have to take a look and see if we can how much we can participate in that officially. Anyway. So I do appreciate you calling. And that was steady over and out. Let's go ahead and pick up Phil from Daytona Beach, Florida. Phil, how are you doing this afternoon?
Yeah. Hello?
Hey, Phil, how are you doing today?
Okay, just call me Mr. Cheerful after last night's call.
Well, hello, Mr. Cheerful.
Yeah. Hey, after last night's call, I got on the line to try to walk my own talk there, and it's just so frustrating we're not able to mobilize folks like we want to. And you mentioned the media before, Bruce, you know, how they're dropping Iraq so they can, you know, basically so they can start pumping up this selling Iran before the election. You know, I really believe they're going for it pre-November 7th. But the media, we have to be the news. And to continue to try to get this corporate media that is all part of this whole Bush plan, you know, we got to be the media ourselves locally. And I'm trying to think, what can we do that, you know, we haven't been, the peace and anti-war movement, you know, we get out there, we do the demonstrations, we do whatever we do, and it's just not going. Then I looked at the 9/11 truth movement, which has been growing in bounds and leaps, right? And what is it that they've been doing? And what the tools that they utilize have been these DVDs like Loose Change and different 9/11 truth DVDs. And they make it available on the internet for download on Google. And the DVDs are able to give the people the information our corporate media does not. And I really think, as far as, like, I wish after DowningStreet.org or one of these groups would produce a similar DVD that can inform the public about the Downing Street memo of 02, the White House memo of January 03, a little bit on the CIA leak and Project for a New American Century, just basically a primer on all that, you know, which is plenty for impeachment. And it's a tool that works. I know I'm talking your ear off here. You probably got other callers. But that's how the 9/11 truth movement's been growing by leaps and bounds, is that. And the makers of these DVDs encourage people to copy them and hand them out, you know, and link them on their websites for viewing online, whereas other DVD, you know, there's no copyright.
Right. I think that's a fantastic idea.
You know, I'm
surprised that somebody like Move On or somebody hasn't tried to push that forward in some sort of competition.
Yeah, I want to reach, I don't know if you have access to David Swanson of afterdowningstreet.org. You know, he's the one who organized Camp Democracy. You were down there broadcasting,
yes.
Right?
Yes,
he's,
I do.
He's the top dog there at afterdowningstreet.org. And they did put a 40-minute video out, you know, in a while back from the basement hearings. But I think we need an updated one, you know, that, and you don't want it too long. You know, you certainly don't want me announcing it. It'll go on for 8 hours, but, you know. But see what I mean? I think this is an approach that's been proven to work with 9/11 truth. Now we get the war, impeachment, torture kind of thing in a similar video and take the same approach, just encourage people to make copies, burn DVD copies and have house parties and just pass them out.
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful idea.
We're a TV culture. I'm sorry. One more thing. You poor guy. Huh? You can't get a word in. But hi to the Powers and Morrison guys. I'm sorry I haven't been in the chats, fellas and ladies. But there was a Nielsen report last week that said there are now 2.73 television sets to 2.55 people in every household, and the average American person watches 4.8 something hours of television per day. We're a TV viewing society, and the reason why our population is so misled is because that's where the information comes from. So these DVDs, we plug them in, and the TV puts it out, and that's how they'll get it.
I think that's a wonderful idea, and you know what? I will do what I can to try to research some of that stuff, and maybe we can get together with David and come up with something.
Yeah. And thanks for listening, guys, out there in Radio Land. You've been patient. Thank you, Bruce. You've been real
patient.
Thanks
for calling in, my friend, and I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
Thanks. You too.
All right, so let's go over to Tina from Vermont, first-time caller. Tina, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to mention something that probably everybody has already thought through, but this is really on my mind because there's a couple of Democrats from the mid-north area, you know, Byron Dorgan, Dick Durbin, and also Barack Obama, and a few of these that are, I think, quietly progressive, but don't want to go too far out of the machine that they have had to work within to get where they are. But, you know, a lot of them are quietly moving. And one of the things that, to tie into what the last caller was just talking about, I agree with him. And although we just dropped cable, bought an iMac, and now are listening to people like you, Air America, you know, all kinds of different stuff is available. You can be selective. And I like that kind of autonomy, but I don't really miss the TV. But we use it for movies and educational purposes and things like that. But one of the things to tie in with that is to try to develop some sort of consciousness about creating some accountability with the media, the big money media. It really breaks my heart that CNN has, you know, sold out to the pharmaceuticals and you know, the big companies that are supporting them. And they just scratch the surface, and they have a lot of talent, and they're not allowed to go. They did this big thing on Katrina, but did they ever do any follow up on why it was a total disaster after the natural disaster and those kinds of things? And how do we create accountability? I guess it is the media. The media would probably be the best, most efficient way. I don't know, but there was a oversight hearing 2 days ago. It's a Democratic. I wrote it all down too, and I printed it up for my mother to read because my mother's an elderly lady down in Florida, and you wouldn't believe the nasty mail she gets to try to twist her mind around, take advantage of her age. But she doesn't get real good news down there. So as a Democratic Policy Committee, and they're actually an oversight committee on how we did in Iraq, and they got the three military officials who pretty much gave up their careers to expose this and bring it forward, and none of the major networks covered that at all.
I know.
Nobody.
And actually, they were threatened. The Democrats were threatened with not being able to use any hearing rooms if they quote unquote pulled that stunt again.
Oh, really? I didn't catch that, but I know that I heard Byron Dorgan interviewed very briefly and said that, well, we do have our own rooms in the Senate. I guess in the House of Representatives, they have to petition, beg, borrow, steal, or whatever, but I don't know. I'm just repeating what I heard. I don't know it for a fact. But
I think the biggest thing with the big media is we've got to get the Democrats into the House and Senate so that there can be some real oversight of the FCC. At this point, it's been just a rubber stamp body for whatever kind of right wing propaganda can be put out there, and we just can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Tina, yeah. I really do appreciate your call. I'm right at the end of the show,
okay.
But I'd love to hear from you again.
It's a great show. Yeah, I will. Now that I'm more into this, I have access to this now through being on the internet and with a really great computer. I feel a lot more connected to the world. It's great. So thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for being there.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for listening and thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And fantastic. Tina, first time caller from Vermont. We are right hammering up to the end of the show. We still had a caller on the line, and I hate this, but we've got to get out of here. And this is the first time I've ever left a caller on the line, but I apologize from the bottom of my heart. Paul, you'll be the first one in line tomorrow, okay? Call first thing tomorrow, and I'll get you in first thing of the show tomorrow. Today's show is produced by Zach Revich. Thank you, Zach. John Fox was the announcer and is also the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Let's see. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services, Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Gene from Oregon is our Head On Headlines news ninja. Hi-ya! That's just for Gene. Thank you, Gene. And Ben Birch of the White Rose Society manages the stream and also the archives of every show on the Head On Radio Network. Thank you, Ben, very much. Shelby Lepre, radiopower.org, is our streaming partner. Thank you, Shelby, over at radiopower.org. Also want to thank the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Those guys are building the American dream, and by supporting this network, they're helping us to take back America for the people that matter. And also, thank you very much, chat room mods. You guys rock. And last but not least, listeners, thank you for joining me today for another wonderful radio program down the progressive path, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. And remember, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. I'll see you tomorrow.
The sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be all right. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the world.
This is the Quality News Network. White House spokesman Tony Snow said today that the full national intelligence estimate from April will not be released because it would jeopardize the lives of the agents who collected the information. About 3 pages of the 30-page report were made public yesterday. They concluded that Iraq has become a cause celeb for jihadists who have increased in numbers and are now operating in a wider area. But it also stated that if the jihadists lose in Iraq, they will also lose their ability to recruit new members. On Capitol Hill, Republicans in the House and Senate have cleared the way for legislation on terrorism detainees. It gives President Bush the authority to detain, interrogate, and try them before military commissions. In Washington today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice told Sudan that it must either accept a UN force in Darfur or face a confrontation with the rest of the world. She added that if rebels who are fighting the government continue to refuse to sign onto the peace deal brokered in May, UN sanctions would be imposed. Meanwhile, a bill aimed at helping to end the bloodshed in Darfur is headed to the White House for President Bush's signature. Among other things, it would give the president the authority to support an expanded African Union mission in Sudan until a UN peacekeeping force arrives. At the White House this evening, President Bush will have dinner with Afghan President Hamid Karzai and Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf. For the past few months, Karzai and Musharraf have criticized each other's efforts to fight terrorism along their shared border. In Saudi Arabia, plans are underway to build a fence along its border. It's part of a $12 billion security plan to protect the country from external threats and being dragged into the sectarian conflict. The plan also includes electronic sensors and security bases. In Israel today, officials released the Palestinian deputy prime minister, who had been jailed without charges since mid-August, That came after Israel's highest court ordered that he be let go. In Berlin,